Blog Talk Radio.
From Ajijic, Mexico, on the shores of beautiful Lake Chapala, it's Music Sin Fronteras. I'm your host, Patrick O'Heffernan, and this is your show. Our guest is here to talk with you, so you can call in 917-889-3068. That's a USA number, so you know, put a one in front of it. If you're in Mexico, you have to put all those other codes in front of it. Sorry about that. Or email us. It might be easier if you're in Mexico. Email us at musicsinfronterasmx@gmail.com. Well, I want to welcome all of our listeners on the CyberStationUSA.com network and the radio affiliates out on the East Coast, and also the Artistic Echoes Network and the Canalside Radio Network in the UK, who will hear us tomorrow. And hi to everybody on Blog Talk Radio. Again, if you have questions or comments, call us 917-889-3068 or email us musicsinfronterasmx@gmail.com. And if you're listening to us on a podcast, or you're in England, or on one of the affiliates and you're hearing us later tonight, go ahead and email questions. We'll forward them on to our guest. And of course, as you know, we're in Mexico, and Mexico is noisy. And occasionally some of that noise gets through our soundproofing. So if you hear a horse or a bunch of horses or a marching band or the tringle from the jingle from the gas truck, just smile. It's Mexico. All right. Sarah Elizabeth Haynes is one of those glorious artists who comes along every now and then and kind of reworks your concept of music. She's a classically trained multi-instrumental violinist who tours with a string quartet and can be seen in concert halls, playing the masters, and on Broadway, backing major musicals. She's also been a part of New York's pop music scene. She's played with bands like Emmanuel and Fear, and when I first encountered her, she was playing with the Americana folk rock Celtic band Bellhouse, who I love and have been listening to all week. If that was not enough, she's also been touring with the smash musical hit Hamilton as a member of the orchestra. Well, Sarah is now stepping out into the spotlight alone. She's releasing a powerful debut solo album, Pretending to Sleep, next Saturday at the Rockwood Music Hall in New York City. The album combines all of her musical talents with lyrics that are honest, although painful. The album won't be available till next week, although you can pre-order it now, and we'll talk about that later. But we have a sneak preview of the songs, and even better, we have the woman herself right now. Sarah, welcome to Music Sin Fronteras.
Hi there. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, Sarah, usually when we use the phrase music sin fronteras, that is music without borders, we mean music that crosses national borders, you know, like mariachi combined with rock or cumbia combined with blues. But you, as an artist, you cross a different kind of border, the border between classical and pop music, which for some people is a pretty solid line, but not for you. So have you always been a musician sin fronteras when it comes to pop and classical?
That I would definitely say yes to. I grew up loving to sing, and I always actually loved theater. And so I was singing as a kid, and I would watch, you know, musical movies, and I'd sing along to every word. But I always wanted to play the violin, and I always had that great love for classical music as well. And so, yeah, I definitely steeped myself in many different genres and different types of music all through my life. And it makes it a little confusing sometimes to, when people ask me what genre my music is, because I don't honestly know how to answer that most of the time.
Well, I think the answer is it's the Sarah Elizabeth Haynes genre. Okay. All right. Well, you know, as long as I have followed you, which has been for a couple of years now, you've been part of one group or another. You've been in symphonies, you've been in string quartets, you were in contemporaneous, and then, of course, the Bellhouse Band, where I first encountered you. You're now standing out there on the stage with just you and your talent. And one of the songs on the album really kind of brought that home to me, Petrified. So let's play a little bit of Petrified and then talk about Fear. Here we go.
Okay.
Turn to stone before my eyes.
turned to stone beside you. We are all just petrified, petrified.
I know you're singing about a petrified forest in mm-hmm. Sonoma, which I've actually been to, and mm-hmm. how turning to stone after dying a thousand times is bound up in fear. But you also, in the lyrics, you tell us we're paralyzed by the things we cannot say. But you're saying those mm-hmm. things in this album. You're getting unparalyzed. Is it scary to be unparalyzed?
I think you've actually just hit on like the main theme of what I feel like this record is actually, because I think it's about miscommunication and like lack of communication in large and small ways. I think you're absolutely correct that's a big idea for me that I've been wrestling with a lot. Is how do we talk to each other? Especially now in like our current state of the world, it almost seems like it's becoming harder and harder, even with more and more ways to communicate and stay connected.
Is it scary to do so?
Well, absolutely, because, you know, there's the fears that come with opening up and becoming vulnerable, which is, you know, the fear of rejection, the fear of failure, the fear that you're not actually going to be able to say what you want to say properly or the way that you mean it. Kind of what I'm exploring, I think, on a lot of this record.
Pretending to Sleep, this record, is mm-hmm. full of pain. In the lead song, Losing Games, it's
yes.
just beautiful, hurting, poetic lyrics. You write, unseeing
you.
Eyes cannot lead the blind, on deaf ears falls no melody. I can't mm-hmm. wake you if you're just pretending to sleep. Sometimes I try all the same. It's always a losing game. Now, first of all, that's really powerful. And secondly,
I know
that's about a relationship, but there's a line in there, on deaf ears falls no melody. And that's so mm-hmm. much larger than just one or two people. It's kind of an insight that, as you just mentioned, can apply to many aspects of the world today. When you were writing that, was the larger context in the back of your mind, or were you just focusing on that relationship?
I think this is about a particular, I think, miscommunication, but I did want it to be bigger than that. I didn't want it to be about a relationship. In fact, I don't even really consider Losing Game a love song or anything in that, like that. I think that it is about all the ways that we choose not to see somebody else's side or perspective. And that's something to me that's very universal and very present, I think, in our culture, in the state of our country right now, in America. And it was important for me to get that across The saying, actually, pretending to sleep, I can't wake you if you're just pretending to sleep, is loosely pulled from a Navajo proverb, which I read somewhere. And it just struck me as so powerful that it worked itself into that song.
Oh.
Which actually, that song was just released as my last single before the record comes out in 2 weeks today. So that song just came out everywhere today.
Yeah.
And I'm excited about it.
And where can people get it?
It's on all of the, you know, traditional streaming platforms. It's on Spotify and all of that. But it's also, it's available with a pre-order on Bandcamp of the record, and you can also pre-order it on iTunes. And then, so all three singles that I've released so far will be available immediately with the pre-order. And then on November 8th, when the album comes out fully, the rest of the album will be released.
Okay. Well, we'll remind our audience of that once again. You know, I was spent the whole week listening to the album. And as I said earlier, it's full of beautiful, hurting lyrics. But there is hope. In one song, Bound to, you sing, "The game gets harder every time you play. Maybe I should save this for another day." But then you punctuate that with, "I am bound to get this right."
Mm-hmm.
Is this a lyrical summation of where you've been in the recent or not so recent past and where you are now, that you're bound to get it right?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's funny, that song, I think after so many, there are, you know, there is some pain and honesty in a lot of the lyrics, but I think at the end of the day, the point of all of that is, like, you get it out and you keep trying because eventually you'll figure it out. And that's what that song is for me.
Well, I think you figured it out. Okay.
Thank you.
There's another song in the album, "All I Know," that's also very insightful. And I hope you don't mind my kind of digging into your lyrics. I really do like lyrics because
they
are what the singer is saying. And it may be illuminating to me, at least, and you'll tell me, as to why this album at this time. So I want to play a little bit of it. This is "All I Know." Courage to go it alone, even when you have the support structure of friends and musical partners and a day job. And you write in "All I Know," "You'll wait forever for the moment that is sure to be the one. If you let it pass, then you might one day wake up wondering what it was all for. Don't doubt it when the time comes." The decision to release a solo album seems like maybe this is the time that has come that you can't doubt. So what led you at this moment to release a solo singing album?
There were a couple of factors really that led into it, but I didn't think of myself as a songwriter. Basically, until I started playing with Bell House, I was somebody who played other people's music, and that was my training, and that was my concept of who I was as a musician. And but I felt like there was always something missing in that. And but I couldn't possibly be a songwriter because I didn't know how to do that. Being in New York City and being a freelance musician, I didn't have a day job for a couple of years working, and I was living in New York, but it was hard. You know, you probably work 70, 80 hours a week and make $25,000 a year, and you're paying New York City rent. So it's, you don't have time to think about, you know, what else you could be doing. And then I got so lucky, I got this job that, you know, it's my job, and it's the only thing that I do from day to day. And I finally had space in my brain to kind of conceptualize like what it meant to be a creative person in a very open concept way. Like it felt like for the first time I could kind of do whatever I wanted with my own creative life and my music. And so I decided I was going to try and make an album, and that was kind of it. And it took me a year to do that still.
Well, you know, you're probably the first musician I have ever said this to, but keep your J job. Right? Because it leads to great music. All right. Let me remind our audience that we are talking with Sarah Elizabeth Haynes, and you can talk with her. And actually, we've got some email already for you. So why don't we? I'm going to wait a minute or two and see if we get some more, because I'm going to give the email address musicsinfronterasmx@gmail.com. Well, now that we've plumbed some of the emotional depths of your terrific songwriting, I'd like to turn to something completely different. What's it like to tour with Hamilton?
It's great. I've gotten to see a majority of the country. I've been on tour for 2 years. I was also touring with Les Miserables for a couple of months before I came to Hamilton. So it's been a very interesting journey. I think there's only 12 or so states in the U.S. that I still haven't visited, which I'm hoping to get a couple more of those in the next couple of months. And yeah, it's been interesting seeing the country and seeing different parts of the country that I've never been to and, you know, wouldn't necessarily go on vacation to.
Was Lin-Manuel Miranda on the tour, or do you just have
no
touring cast? So you never met him, huh?
I met him once. He's very nice.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. You know, when I saw Hamilton in L.A., it was the other touring company. Unfortunately, you weren't there. Mm-hmm. But I went because we were subscribers at the Pantages. We got the tour. And one of the tours was through the Music Pit. And you guys are really crammed like sardines down there. I'm surprised you can move a bow on a violin.
Well, it depends on the theater. Every theater does have a little bit of a different setup. So sometimes they're very spacious. And yeah, sometimes it's pretty tight quarters.
It looks like from what I saw of the band or the orchestra at in L.A., there was kind of a choreography among the string instruments to make sure you didn't poke somebody in the eye with your bow. So are you know, while you're on the road, are there parties and things like that?
From time to time. I mean, something I love so much about this company is that we all just really like each other. And so, you know, they're not necessarily always official parties, but like we do spend time together, and it's, you know, touring is kind of like a weird little traveling circus. So you kind of, you're like a family, you know,
cool.
Because you're all in it together.
And from what I saw, what you're in is several tractor trailers and a lot of vans and taxis and things like that.
I don't know actually, but yes, we travel like several trucks with the company, and then depending on how far the move is, we either fly or we'll take a bus, you know, from
okay.
city to city.
When you land in a new city, because I watched the trucks pull up to the Pantages, it's a big operation. Mm-hmm. It must take at least a couple of days to get the setup and the lighting tracks
laid
out.
We do one-day load-in. We do
one day.
So we do Sunday
wow.
night. We have a performance. The crew loads out the entire theater that night. They're amazing. Our whole crew works so hard, and they're really, really incredible at their jobs. And they, yeah, Sunday night they load out, then they, you know, get usually bused to the next city. And then they have a day. Monday they load in, then Tuesday they continue to load in. Tuesday evening we have a sound check, and then we do our first show.
Okay, so it does take a couple of days to get everything set up. And I imagine it takes pretty much a day for the orchestra to get its act together. Is that to get mic'd and located and everything?
Well, no, that's part of the load-in and setup. We have a sound check, and it's only about a 90-minute sound check with the whole company, and then we get going.
Wow, boy, you guys have it down. I know rock bands that take longer than that. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's some emails. All right, and they're about Hamilton. All right.
Okay.
This is Taylor in L.A., and Taylor says, when you tour with a production like Hamilton, how much contact do you have with the stars?
I mean, we're all on the same buses and the same, yeah, we're all friends in the show, honestly. Like from lead
okay.
to crew people, yeah, everybody gets along and hangs out.
Okay. Remy in Tampa wants to know, when you're on tour, can you also do your own stuff, like do performances on nights off?
Yeah, we can. Our only night off is Monday night, so that makes it tough sometimes, but we're able to do that as long as we're not allowed to perform anything from the show.
Sure, yeah, that's understandable.
Yeah.
Blue in San Francisco wants to know, are there many concert musicians like you who also do rock and pop?
Almost all of my friends and colleagues from New York and really across, like, everyone that I've met in my career does a little bit of everything. It's actually sort of one of the most amazing things about the people that I know and love and get to work with is that we're, I wouldn't say jacks of all trades, but, you know, in order to survive, I think, as a modern musician, you kind of have to know a little bit about different types of music and how to fit into different types of genres and styles, because it's a big, you know, it just means you can work more and in different contexts. So that's like, I have, you know, amazing string playing friends who will go from playing, you know, in the New York City Ballet to playing with pop and rock artists at Madison Square Garden within days.
Wow.
Yeah, and so yes, I think that's part of being
cool.
a modern musician. Yeah,
it's also part of modern music too.
Right.
Last email is from Mexico, and it's from Veronica Elena, who's in Guadalajara, and thank you for the English, Veronica. She wants to know, is Hamilton ever going to come to Mexico? And will you come with it?
That I don't know the answer to that question, unfortunately. I'm sorry.
Well, next time you talk to the tour manager, tell him or her that at least one person wants to see you at the Teatro Diana in Guadalajara. Okay.
Definitely.
All right. Okay. Well, we have time for one more song. And the song I've chosen, Break My Heart, because it does it in such a deliciously wonderful way. Let's play a little bit, then we can talk about it. Here's Break My Heart. Production on this album, which is sort of spare, like an empty stage that gives you plenty of space and a spotlight. In this song, the texture with the drum and the organ drone is really very interesting. But you also bring in some overdub lines in it, kind of like an inner voice reminding you of the danger of a broken heart. Lays out the arrangement, the production arrangement. Is that you, or was that the producer, or is this a joint effort?
Well, so I worked with Kevin Salem on this record, and he is an amazing Woodstock-based producer. And he and I I met him playing a show for another singer-songwriter in New York, and we just got along. And like, so literally I emailed him years later, and I was like, hey, can we make a record? And he was like, yes, absolutely, let's do it. And it's been that he and I have had a great working relationship in that, because much of the record is actually just Kevin and me playing instruments. And it was just the two of us in the studio for a lot of the time. He played guitars and some synths on the record, as well as engineering and producing it. And I had a pretty clear concept of kind of what I wanted a lot of the arrangements to sound like coming in to making the album, but he helped me to kind of realize those, and also he brought in some ideas that I literally never would have thought of, and really I think helped to bring up some of those arrangements and some of those songs in a really amazing way. He was so great in working, you know, because a lot of our work was done remotely after we did the initial recording sessions. We actually tracked all the vocals first over parts of my demos that I had sent him, which is a little bit backwards. And some of his and he also recorded some of the guitar parts at that time, but it was an interesting process because we had a very small window of time in which to actually do the recording.
Well, were you still on tour while you were doing the recording?
I was actually sent home when the company went to Dallas, because our union has a rule where sometimes they have to hire local musicians in certain cities. It's usually the larger cities are, and they have local union protections there that you know, give jobs to the locals. And so I was home from Dallas for 4 weeks, but it was my first time coming home in a long time. So like the way that my schedule worked out, we only had about a week in which we could do all of the recording and stuff. So we had to fit a lot of work in a short amount of time.
In addition to being a great songwriter and a great musician, you apparently are also a great time manager too. what was the drum in that your idea?
No, that was Joe Magistro, who's awesome. He's just, he came in and actually tracked all of the drums, I think, in one day after we had done the vocals and the guitars. And I had used this horrible, like, GarageBand MIDI, like, you know, smart drummer or whatever, to kind of map out my idea for the feel of the song. But Joe then just came in and absolutely nailed it when he came in to do the recordings.
Yeah, I would agree with that. The other thing about that song that is really takes me is your voice. And not only just in that song, but also in the whole album. It's very close. It's very personal. It's very intimate. You managed to accomplish the task of singing to me alone through a recording meant for many people. And is that just the way your voice is, or have you been working on that?
That's how I like to, I think, tell stories. I think, and especially, you know, with very personal lyrics and personal songwriting, I think I'm not interested in shouting at people, you know, I don't want to beat anybody over the head with it. So and Kevin and I actually also worked at that, 'cause he, even like, you know, in the studio, Kevin occasionally would have to be like, okay, it's a little too much. So, and, you know, in a world where we do get a lot of very powerful voices, I think
yes.
There's an inclination to want to go there all the time. And I wanted to explore coming away from that, I think, a little bit.
Okay. Yeah, and you're right, because you live in a world of powerful voices. Well, I would like you to be able to sing to me personally, but unfortunately, I'm not going to be there for the album release party when you do sing to people personally.
Mm-hmm.
I can dream, but I'm not going to be there. So a lot of other people will. Then why don't we give them the details, when and where and how they get tickets and all that stuff?
For sure. So my album release show is going to be on Sunday, November 3rd. In New York City, at Rockwood Music Hall on the stage 2. And that show's at 8:30 that night. I'm going to have a full band. It's going to be as close to the album arrangements as we can get. I think there's going to be like 10 people on stage with me, which is going to be really fun. And the tickets are available. You can find my, you know, social media pages, I think all of them are at S.E. Haynes, and that's H-A-I-N-E-S, music. And, you know, I've been posting information about tickets. They're available on Eventbrite. And I think it's going to be a really fun show.
Oh, yeah. And 10 people on stage with you. There goes my idea of you being on stage all by yourself. Right.
There's one or two songs where it's just going to be me and maybe one other person. But then for the bigger ones, I have a string quartet that I'm really excited are going to play with me.
Cool.
'Cause it's, you know, it's my friends. It's just, yeah. I know a lot of string players, and it's people that I really love who are going to be on stage with me.
Cool. Now,
as
where
well
do people
as actually
go to?
A decent chunk of Bell House will also be in my band. So it'll be a fun little New York City reunion.
Oh, God, you're making me feel bad. Mm-hmm. I'm going to start checking the airline schedules from Guadalajara to New York. Where can people pre-order the album today?
The album's available on Bandcamp, and that's sehaynesmusic.bandcamp.com. And then it's also available if you look up my name, Sarah Elizabeth Haynes. The album Pretending to Sleep should come up on iTunes and Apple Music. And everything's also going to be on Spotify eventually. But, you know, a pre-order is always nice. I think the record's only $9. So if you have $9 to spare, it's always a, you know, it's better than 1,000 streams on Spotify.
Let's see, $9 is probably better than 10,000 streams on Spotify.
Right.
All right. Well, Sarah, thank you for such a glorious debut solo album, and thank you for taking the time away from a very busy schedule to be with us today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for talking to me, and I'm glad you like the record. It really means a lot.
Well, I'm going to review it and tell people how much I like it, because I really do. You are a fabulous songwriter and a great musician.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Sarah Elizabeth Haynes, her debut album is Pretending to Sleep, and it's going to be released on all platforms next weekend. If you're in the New York area, be at the Rockwood for the party. It's next Sunday night. If you're like me and you can't be there, follow her on social media, Facebook, Bandcamp. You can pre-order on Bandcamp, Spotify. Her website also is a place to go. Sehines is how she spells it. And let me also remind everybody that you've been listening to Music Scene Fronteras with Patrick O'Heffernan from CyberStationUSA.com, BlogTalkRadio.com, and our radio affiliates on the East Coast and in the United Kingdom. Like our Facebook page, follow our Twitter feeds, and you'll get real-time updates on our guests. Our producer is Lars Christensen. Our program director and engineer is Jason Bartleben. You can download this and other Music Scene Fronteras programs at blogtalkradio.com or on iTunes. Tune in next week. We're going to be talking with Cunhao, a blend of pop music and the sounds of Veracruz. And they have an album with Ali J that's been nominated for a Latin Grammy. Check our Twitter stream and our Facebook page, and you'll get lots more information about them. They're really fun. Let me tell you, they're really fun. In the meantime, have a great musical weekend. Tener un gran fin de semana musical. And we're going to give you a little taste of Losing Game as we go out.
Must be a pretty picture I paint. It's hard not to laugh for the shame. Hands bloodied from trying to tear down your walls. Voice hoarse from calling your name. Tonight I think I've learned my lesson. Deaf ears falls no melody. I can't wake you if you're just pretending to sleep. Sometimes I try all the same. No way. It's taken a long while to see all you are. I can't say that it. Must be a pretty picture I paint.